Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson Extra. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
But you already know that by now because you are lovely Patreon listeners. And welcome to Geek History Lesson Extra connected to Spider-Man 2099.
Yes.
You never did 2099 once during that original podcast.
What?
I want to hear you do 2099 just once.
Absolutely not.
2099.
No.
What's a year that you would do?
No.
Is there a year you would do, like 1998?
In that voice?
Was 98 a good year for you?
No.
Would you do 1998?
No.
What's a good year for you?
No, I'm not going to do that voice.
Come on, no. Just once.
No.
All right.
You made me sing. I'm not going to do that voice for you.
Why not? Okay. I thought it'd be fun because Spider-Man 2099 is an alternate version of Spider-Man.
It's true.
And I thought it'd be fun to talk about what is like a favorite version, a favorite alternate version of Spider-Man that we both like, or you like and I like. And then maybe we can talk about some of the other alternate versions that are out there. And maybe we'll pitch the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon.
Okay.
How's that sound?
That sounds good.
What's a favorite weird alternate version of Spider-Man that you like?
I really like Spider-Girl.
Ooh.
And there have been several Spider-Girls, and by that I mean two. And I am talking about Mayday Parker.
From the MC2.
From the MC2, which is the Marvel Comics 2 universe.
Well, it was the idea of the two was that it was supposed to be like the second generation.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be the kids of the Marvel universe.
But now it's become, because it's not in continuity, it's become an alternate reality. She's from an alternate Earth now.
Well, actually, it was always from an alternate Earth. It was never...
it was never in the 616?
No.
Because, I thought it was. My mistake.
Because she's supposed to be the daughter that... Peter and Mary Jane had at the end of the Clone Saga.
And she wears Ben Reilly's suit.
So that baby that you see that was spirited away that we don't know it ever happened because the comic editors were like, Peter Parker can't have a baby.
Yeah, for real.
That's who Mayday's supposed to be.
So I like her. She has an okay series. They get a little caught up in the... Oh, golly gee, I'm really pretty, but I'm really insecure.
I think that was because it was written by Tom DeFalco. And if you know anything about Tom DeFalco, he's a very retro writer.
It was written and created by Tom DeFalco. Yes, it does have that feeling where, even though it came out in 1998, feels more like it was written in 1968.
Uh-huh.
With the ideas like that, although they do draw her super, super sexy and she's supposed to be like 14.
Yeah, she's young.
But she does the Mary Jane thing where she's always got her belly out and you're like, I don't know if you'd be that well endowed at 14, but maybe you were just one of those girls. I always just, I love legacy characters. So she was a character for me. I like that she honors the Ben Reilly part of the Spider legacy because even though the Clone Saga is a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
I like Ben Reilly, and so I like that we can do little things like that to include him in it.
I like Ben Reilly a lot, too.
Like, I'm always saying that, and maybe I'll pitch this in the cartoon, but, like, Ben Reilly and Silk need to be a couple, and I think it would give you a chance to bring him back, put him in a spider costume, and do something interesting with him.
Really? Okay.
Well, because Silk and Peter Parker are attracted to each other because they were bitten by the same spider.
So Ben would be, too.
So Ben would be, too, and then you don't have to worry about Silk getting in between the Peter Parker, Mary Jane thing that is always kind of the inevitable going on. So.
Ah, I see.
But yeah, Spider-Girl needs to come back. Now is the perfect time to bring her back.
Okay.
Because female spider characters like Silk and Spider-Gwen are selling really, really well. They're super cool. And I think there'd be a lot of cool writers who could do something interesting with her. And since apparently we're welcoming every spider character back.
Yeah, sure.
I feel a little surprised that we didn't get more. We don't get more out of her.
Hmm.
So there you go.
She was an important part of Spider-Verse.
She was, but she didn't stick around.
Well, no. But she's got an action figure.
She does. It's a really cool action figure.
It is.
So who's yours? Who are you going to talk about?
An interesting one that sticks out to me is Man-Spider.
Oh, I don't like Man-Spider.
I don't think you know the Man-Spider that I'm talking about, to be honest with you.
Okay, show me a picture.
Have you ever heard of a series called Mutant X?
Yes.
Okay, have you read Mutant X?
No, maybe parts of it.
Now, people out there that don't know, I'm not talking about that really bad TV show that was basically copying the X-Men
with
John Shea in it, the Lex Luthor from Lois and Clark. No, not that one at all. What I'm talking about is Mutant X was this X-Men series that where Havoc got shunted from the 616 to this alternate universe where he's like the leader of this team called the Six.
And
demons took over. But what attracted me to that series was that, like, the first issue had this amazing cover, and I loved Havoc's design in that universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I was sort of a fan of Mutant X for like the first, I remember I bought issue one and then like I sort of like bought issues here and there.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me tell you, it has not held up as well. But anyways, in that universe, Spider-Man actually diverges from the scene in Amazing Spider-Man 102 where he gets six arms and he's unable to cure himself. And for no reason, he just calls himself Man Spider. And then, so he has just two arms. He's basically Spider-Man. He has four extra arms.
Yeah.
And then you find out later in the book that he actually, in that universe, has a clone. The clone saga ended where he has the other clone there.
Oh, really?
And him and the other clone work together so that they're never in the same place at the same time so that they can do double the work. And then eventually in that series, like, one of the clones is killed by Madeline Pryor. And so he has to reveal that, like, oh, that was my clone. But I think, I don't know, I think that's weird that, like, Spider-Man was just like, I can't cure my forearms. Who cares? I can't kill this clone. Who cares?
You know? We'll just make it work.
Let's do the Three's Company thing where we switch places all the time.
That's so weird. Excuse me.
There's also, like, a whole bunch of other, like... Oh, who else do you love?
I love, and I know he's like the dumbest idea ever. I love Spider-Ham. And in the Spider-Gwen, Jason Latour also loves Spider-Ham. Uh-huh. So in the Spider-Gwen series, every time Gwen gets hit on the head too hard, he appears to be her Jiminy Cricket.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like one of the only ways that you can take that character and preserve him in an ongoing Marvel book without making the book like Howard the Duck.
Well, it's kind of like what they did with Batmite in Batman RIP. They made him like the weird hallucination.
Yeah.
Which I think worked. You know, another favorite version of mine, I just looked it up just so I could make sure I could read you all this because it's funny. Spider-Boy.
Who's Spider-Boy?
Now, Spider-Boy is an Amalgam Comics character. Now, Amalgam is that company, the weird DC Marvel team up where they combine their characters. So it was like Dark Claw was Wolverine, Batman, and Super Soldier was...
Oh, so
was
Spider-Boy supposed Superboy. To be like Superboy
so
and
he,
Spider-Man?
So he looks like Kon-El. He has like a leather jacket, but like he has like Spider...
Do you have a fade cut?
No, but he has like spider stripes. Here, let me Google a picture for you. Of course, like this is an audio podcast.
I'll Google it. You tell me about him.
So Spider-Boy, you should totally see it. Like, I love his costume. I think it's really cool.
It is really cool.
Yeah, it's really neat, right? Spider-Boy?
Look at his little leg pouches.
And he's one of the best characters, I feel, in the Amalgam Universe. So anyways, so they combine Superboy and Spider-Boy. And he's had two comics. He's had Spider-Boy number one and Spider-Boy team-up. Now, in the Amalgam continuity, Spider-Boy is a clone of researcher Peter Parker. And he was created during an explosion in Project Cadmus. So Peter Parker is a member of this cast. And he was adopted by Cadmus director General Thunderbolt Ross. And he's given the name Pete Ross. And Spider-Boy's power is the ability to redirect his own personal gravity, giving him the ability to climb walls and to increase his strength. And he was able to shoot webs using a special web gun developed by Cadmus.
Oh.
Spider-Boy also is an honorary member of the Legion of Galactic Guardians 2099.
Oh my god.
An amalgamation of the Legion of Superheroes, the Guardians of the Galaxy, and Marvel 2099.
My brain hurts with that name.
That's what a lot of the Amalgam Universe is. It's like combining characters. Like Iron Lantern is one of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of the good ones is Bruce Wayne, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And oh, really?
Yeah, it's really cool. So like Bruce Wayne works with Dum-Dum Dugan.
Oh, that's so cool.
And he fights the Green Skull.
Right.
And the S.H.I.E.L.D. logo, the top half is a bat.
That's so cool.
And then the bottom half is like the normal logo. It like some of them really like Super Soldier is good because it's basically the Captain America costume with Superman's underoos and his shield is the Superman symbol.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so there are some really cool ideas and there are some really crazy ideas like JLX, which didn't really work at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can find those in the quarter bins.
You can find, I think, all of the Amalgam because they're out of print. But like Spider-Boy is like a really fun version of, and Spider-Boy, I think, would make an amazing animated series.
I think, though, that you can't use the Amalgam characters anymore because DC and Marvel don't play well together.
Not right now, they don't. But eventually, one day, they will.
Yes.
One day, they will come back to a harmony and they will let things happen again and we will see the resurgence of the Amalgam Universe.
You know, if they really wanted to make all the money from Netflix, they'd make an Amalgam show.
The rights would be so insane.
I know.
But I will tell you that whenever I think Dan DiDio and I think Joe Quesada hop ships, retire, we'll see an Amalgam.
You think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because it's those two that are keeping the universes apart. Mm-hmm. Will Amalgam will return because there are enough fans of the 90s like me that will be like, let's bring back Amalgam.
It's a fun idea, too.
Yes.
It's a really fun idea.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we were talking earlier. I said in the lesson that Spider-Man 2099 almost had an animated series.
It did. It should have.
And it made me so sad that it didn't exist, because that cartoon would still be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be Spider-Man's answer to Batman Beyond, like you said.
Yeah.
Because
Marvel's had a couple good cartoons, but for the most part, their animation is not on par with the stuff that Warner Brothers puts out.
No. Yeah, it's nowhere close. Marvel has yet to have a Justice League.
I would say the closest they got is maybe Spectacular Spider-Man.
I would argue Earth's Mightiest Heroes, Avengers, was great.
Yeah.
Because it was like a perfect mix of all their continuity. I think Spectacular Spider-Man is their best Spider-Man series.
Mm-hmm.
But you could tell in the second season that something happened.
Yes.
Because the first season is really great, and the second season's not so great.
Yeah.
And then Ultimate Spider-Man, just get rid of it.
Yeah.
Throw it out the door. Like, it's obviously for 8-year-olds, but like, I always feel the best cartoons appeal to both.
Well, Green Lantern, the animated series, you can totally enjoy as an adult. So.
And a kid.
Yep.
And again, and Justice League, Batman, Superman, the animated series, the originals, still hold up today. Like, I can watch them now and I feel like it was made yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, it's not dated at all. So, Ashley,
mm-hmm.
I'm Marvel.
Hi, Marvel.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Wacker.
I don't control... Wacker doesn't control Marvel. He controls, like, parts of Marvel television, but sure.
Yeah, he's a big part of the animation.
Hello, I'm Marvel Television. I want you to create me a new Spider-Man cartoon.
Okay.
What do you got? Throw it out there. Any idea? Crazy Town. What do you got? What do you want to see? I'm giving you all the money.
So that's great. So you've seen, because I know you check out your competition, you've seen Super Best Friends Forever.
Yep.
And you've seen the DC shorts.
Yep.
So I propose that we make two different web series where we do short little minisodes, and one has three girls on it and one has three boys on it. And that's how we introduce the characters. And then on the TV show, they can all team up to be led by Peter Parker.
Who are the characters?
On the girls, it's Spider-Gwen and Silk and Mayday.
Okay.
Who comes hurtling back through time.
All right.
And on the boys' team, it's Miguel and Miles.
Spider-Man 29. Ultimate Spider-Man.
And what's the name of Scarlet Spider?
Ben Reilly.
I thought Scarlet Spider
was... Do you mean Ben Reilly Scarlet Spider or Kane?
Kane. And Kane. And then, so you can introduce them and you can have them on little shorts.
Okay.
Online. And so they...
Peter Parker is only in the main show.
Yes. So individually, they all meet and they all create their super teams and they're all kind of silly together. And then in the TV show, they meet and they start out as enemies. And then Peter Parker unites them and he's a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
And he brings them to a secret lair where they can come and train like you do. And some of them can live there. Like Mayday would have to live there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's from the future and she has nowhere to stay. And Ben Reilly is the person who's in charge of training them. And he's the one who lives there with them. And then you send them out as a team on missions.
Okay. So they're time traveling.
The ones that need to time travel time travel, yes.
Okay, but they all fight crime in the present.
Yes.
Okay. So like...
But this, you know, the season finale can be like the future's dying.
So sort of like Web Warriors it's on right now.
Yes, but better.
Okay, with more girls.
More girls.
Got it.
I want an even cast of girls and boys.
Got it. Okay. Okay.
That's my pitch.
Cool.
What is your pitch for a Spider-Man show?
Spider-Ham. The Amazing Adventures of Spider-Ham. No, it's not.
You could team up with the Spider-Monkey.
You could. And totally. My pitch actually, you know what? As soon as I heard Spider-Man 2099, that is the series. But I will put some caveat on. I will put some caveats on it.
Okay.
Season one is Miguel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically like I said, he's corporate. We make him a lot younger. I think he's in college. He's in corporate college.
So he's like maybe 20, 19?
Yeah, he's like 19, 18, somewhere in there. And we get to see his adventures and he becomes Spider-Man. Same kind of stuff, except it all happens in college. His main villain is Doom.
Are you just saying that because Terry was in college?
No, just because you have to make it younger, I think, to connect.
Yeah.
His main villain is Doom, 2099. And we activate a clause that if season one doesn't get the ratings, but you know, because you usually get two seasons. Mm-hmm. Season two, a time-displaced Peter Parker mm-hmm. gets stuck in 2099, and it's Peter Parker, Spider-Man, in the world of 2099 with Miguel.
Cool.
And they're team up in the future. But Peter Parker is in the future. And he's fighting future versions of his villains.
Cool.
Because that cartoon just sells itself. And it has so many... like, especially when you live in a world where the villains could change their technology like every 3 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. That's it.
Cool.
Did anything in the Spider-Man 2099 podcast surprise you?
The way they decided to wrap up the 2099 universe surprised me. Because it literally was just like, what are the dumbest ideas that we have? Let's do all of them.
Why does every Marvel writer like, we're going to flood the world? Oh.
I think because I think if you live in New York City, you have a big fear about water, weather storms. Yeah. Because when I was living in New York, we had a hurricane and we got hit by Hurricane Sandy. And that was a big deal. So I think it's part of the zeitgeist. And if you're a Marvel writer, there's a chance you're in New York.
There is a good chance.
So I think that might be part of it. And like the image of skyscrapers underwater, like that's kind of harrowing, you know? So I think that might be it. I don't know. But they also always want to like have their character face off against the Watcher and then like get some sort of profound view and then change their ways.
Yeah, and we had to introduce a Marvel Universe character into it. That's the thing. We found Steve Rogers. Oh!
Yeah, of course.
You know, I mean, I like the idea of Mjolnir changing him, but still, it's just like, what the hell were they thinking?
Yeah, and it's interesting that like you were like, well, there was a cult that cropped up around Thor, and I was like, well, I guess that because, you know, that Thor character is derivative of someone from mythology. Yeah, yeah, in a religious practice, like that makes sense. I actually don't like other characters wielding Mjolnir. I think it's weird.
Really?
I like that just being Thor's thing.
Oh. You know who else has wielded Mjolnir?
The Vision?
Not in the comics.
I don't know if you know, but only the movies matter. Someone told me that once and I was like, what?
You know who else has wielded Mjolnir? Wonder Woman.
Really?
Yeah, in Marvel versus DC, Wonder Woman picked it up, and she was going to fight Storm because Thor in the 90s was like seriously depowered, and he had a really crappily designed costume that was really stupid, and he lost his hammer. Wonder Woman picked it up, and she was going to fight Storm in the battle, but then she was like, oh, I'm going to be too overpowered over Storm, so I want to fight you fairly. So she let go of the hammer, and then Storm beat her because these battles were decided by votes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would never happen.
There's another person that has wielded Mjolnir.
Batman?
Superman.
Batman?
Superman.
Batman?
Superman.
Cool.
Superman and Justice League Avengers, written by Kurt Busiek, picked up Mjolnir.
I knew that.
And he wielded Mjolnir and Captain America's shield in the final battle because he was the last person standing.
That's cool.
Yep. I think that's really cool.
That is cool.
And Spider-Man 2099 is cool. And I didn't even tell you the story about where he met the weird lizard Hulk. Because in the 2099 universe, the Hulk's a lizard.
Great.
Yep, he's a weird, ugly lizard with two rows of teeth.
Does he eat people?
It looks like it.
It's my favorite thing about the
universe. But he has a weird mohawk and a long tongue and two sets of teeth.
I don't ever need to see that.
He has two sets of teeth and they're sharp.
Stop.
He's ugly. He is ugly. Ugly. So I love Spider-Man 2099.
Me too.
No, you don't. You just met him.
I like the idea.
Don't be flimsy.
You said he was a ladies' man, so I'm sure I'll love him.
He is. His name is Miguel O'Hara.
Is he after your lucky charms?
Oh, yes, he is. He's after my lucky spider charms. All right. And genetics. That's all I got to say on Spider-Man 2099. Anything else you want to say about Spider-Man? This extra kind of meandered. I don't know where to go for this one.
Now I feel like I should say something profound.
You should say something profound right now on the spot for our patrons who we love.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Yep.
And cool ladies in your watch.
Yep. Lila's so cool, guys. Seriously, go look up Google Lila. You're going to laugh.
She's like Cortana, but actually interesting.
And the cool thing that Peter David did in the new series is that Lila is the recap page.
Yes.
Yeah, which is really, really cool. And she talks, she's like, hi, I'm Lila, blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you what's been happening with Miguel. Or you know him as Spider-Man 2099.
Yeah, she's like the ant in
Ant-Man. Irredeemable Ant-Man.
Irredeemable Ant-Man. Yeah.
All right, that's it. Thank you guys so much for listening to this Geek History Lesson Extra. It's because of you that this happens. Thank you so much for listening. We could not do this without the help of you. I'm Jason Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Thank you all for your support. Be seeing you. 2099.